WMFO Medford, 10:01 in the morning. It's Mike on the mic here. Going to come up in just a few seconds, 60 exactly, after a PSA with the band Six Fox Whiskey. Don't go anywhere. It's WMFO.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story.
One night, I was at a bar. I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
The cabbie barely had time to react.
I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
And WMFO. We're all shaking our heads agreeing with that. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so Chris and Mark are still here from Markton Radio. Hi, guys. And we're joined by three of the five and Six Fox Whiskey. No.
Howdy.
No.
Who's the guy in the middle?
Well, that's Chris.
He's this gentleman.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm Tommy.
That's Tommy, and that's Brad.
That's right.
I did it.
All right.
I'm really bad with names, you guys. Really terrible. So you guys have been around for just a couple of years, and you're from Boston. Love the Boston bands. And your sound is very interesting. It's one of those bands, and we've talked about this, me and the Markskin Radio guys, about the way that we first heard about you. So what happened was I record these guys' shows because they're on Friday nights and I never get a chance to listen. But I'm driving, I'm listening back to it in my car, and Seven Stops comes on the radio. And it just stopped me in my tracks. I'm like, what is this? Who is this? And that's what's happened. I was telling you, Chris, in communications yesterday, that's what's been happening when I play you guys here. People go, who is that? They're local? Seriously? So just want you to know, this is the kind of reaction that you're getting.
Thanks,
so
man.
I really appreciate it.
It's really good. So let me start with you, Chris. Tell us a little bit about you. When did you start listening and playing, and how did you get to this point, and all of that good stuff?
Yeah. I started playing, I guess, in like sixth grade, but I didn't really take it too seriously until college.
What were you playing back then?
A lot of classic rock stuff, Van Halen, stuff like that.
It was always guitar?
Black Sabbath, yeah. Yeah. Dude, don't dog on Sabbath.
Sabbath is dope.
You wish you could play like Geezer Butler, Tommy.
I thought it was Zach Wilde.
Hey, Tommy, Ozzy Osbourne.
Could you be a little closer to the mic?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
I thought it was Zach Wilde.
That's Ozzy Osbourne's guitar player.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
So sixth grade, classic rock.
Yeah, my uncle was in a classic rock cover band, and I adored all his stuff, so I started playing. And
that's great.
Yeah, he got me my first guitar, and I started shredding along. I took lessons for a while, broke my hand skateboarding, and stopped taking lessons until, I don't know, I guess after college. But
How long were you like down?
About a year, I guess.
Yeah.
Six months, eight months.
So happy I stopped skateboarding.
Yeah.
I would have suffered a similar fate, I'm afraid.
Were you hating life when you couldn't play?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think I've broken my hand and my wrist several times, and I've always started playing too quickly, like with a cast on, and I think that's ruined my wrist a little bit. But I was doing a lot of classic rock stuff. I played in a couple bands in high school, just playing guitar, not singing. Mm-hmm. I couldn't quite figure out how to sing and play at the same time.
Mm-hmm. How about walking and chewing gum? Does that work out?
No, still can't do that. Went to college. I met Tom and Brad, and kind of through them got exposed to a lot of new music.
Yep.
These guys were listening to a lot of Humphreys McGee and some other jam bands and stuff like that, and I got way into it, started learning a lot more. And
so you moved away from the classic rock stuff?
I still always like the classic rock stuff. I mean, we cover a lot of classic rock songs. Still into that, and I think stuff like Humphreys has a lot of classic rock influence.
It does, yeah.
Definitely.
And then, you know, met these guys, and then I ended up moving to, I played with them a little bit, but I couldn't really keep up, and then I moved to Colorado after college and started doing open mics, learned how to sing and play a little bit better. Started working in Alaska for a while. Worked as a fly fishing guide up there. And that's when I kind of like realized that music was really like the only thing that I knew I was really passionate about. And I was still in touch with these guys. So
yeah, comparing the two, that music and working out in Alaska, probably music's... Yeah, I would rather do that.
No, I loved working out in Alaska, but I mean, far as like a career, when I got back from that season, I just like, I knew that was what I was into. And
did you play at all when you were out there?
Yeah, I would play for the clients once a week. Yeah, it was nice.
Oh, cool.
It was cool. Then, you know, eventually got back in touch with these guys and started putting something together.
All right. So, Tommy, how about you? When did you first start getting the music bug?
It was right when Californication by Red Hot Chili Peppers came out.
He brings it down to an actual track. That's awesome.
It was all around the world, right? Because that starts with this like super epic kind of bass line by Flea. And I remember, I don't know what year that was. It must have been 2001 or two, right? I mean, we're talking quite some time ago now. I remember asking my mother, what is that instrument? It's the bass. Mm-hmm. I want to play that. So we went to the music store and she was kind of trying to convince me to play guitar, and I was like, no, I just want to play the bass. Uh-huh. So I went ahead and did that. Got lessons for many years from a guy named Desron Douglas, who's a kind of world-renowned jazz upright bass player, mostly. He actually just came out with an album called Black Lion, which if you're into jazz, you should definitely check out.
It's so upright bass.
Yeah, he taught me.
Yeah, electric. Right, he taught me.
I've never... not really ever delved into upright, which is a shame, but I have enough trouble.
You got time.
I guess. Yeah. I have enough trouble just learning the electric bass where I don't want the huge upright. But in any case, took lessons from him for a very long time. I grew up in the same hometown as Brad over there, and we started playing together in middle school a bit, and then I'd say, in high school, in the fall, especially when I don't think either of us had any sports, we'd go to his house most days after school and jam in the basement with our other buddies, Colin and Preston and a bunch of other people. So that was kind of like where I learned to play with other people, I would say.
Yeah.
Went to college, met Chris, and just continued playing. Just kind of ended up where I am, just somewhat by chance and somewhat by just having good connections.
It's a little bit of luck sometimes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, thank you. Brad, what about you?
Yeah, so just like influences, my entire life story. We'll start with my whole life story.
Start with birth, Brad.
Yeah, we'll start from the beginning. Yeah,
thoughts out of the womb.
That's right.
I don't even know where to start. I'm not going to profess that it's super interesting either, but influences, yeah, I mean, I've just been playing guitar forever.
When'd you start?
So I got an Ibanez when I was in, I think, second grade, and I just have one like distinct memory of like me being at like a family party. It might have been like around Christmas time back where I used to grow up, kind of down the street from Tommy, and there was a bunch of other adults there, and one of my buddy's dad's, I was like kind of standing in the middle of a circle of adults. Mm-hmm. And one of my buddy's dads was just like, you know what you need to do, Brad? You need to pick up that guitar that you got and you need to play it every single day. Just strum it a couple times a day, just every single day. And I just remember like looking in like a semicircle and all these parents are like nodding like, Brad, do that instead of whatever else you would go do. So I guess I sort of did that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, just was into all sorts of stuff. My dad was a big like Bruce Springsteen fan and as kind of like a rebel against all things that he really loved. Liked in my own way, you know. I started to, you know, listen to some other stuff, and he also liked the Beatles, which I loved. So we had like some similarities, some differences, and I always liked guitar first music. So yeah, like classic rock, like what Chris is talking about. Loved blues, and kind of from there found jazz a little bit, thanks to some great teachers I had, and then just kind of continued studying it from there, I guess. And I knew Tommy growing up, like he said. We jammed all the time, and that's how I kind of got tied in with these guys, because him and Chris went to college together, and they kind of brought me along.
Did you guys ever play in a band other than Six Fox together?
No.
No?
Sort of. I mean, we never, like, did gigs.
No, that was my elementary. That was my first ever band was
Revolt. Well, gigs and playing are two different things.
We never gigged. Exactly. We played in Tag Sale. We did, like, one or two gigs with, another buddy's band.
His name was also Chris, which is kind of funny.
I always
get confused. I'm like, oh, that gig with Chris. And everyone's like, who are you talking about? Well, they always assume it's this Chris.
Yeah. But not much. Not in any significant way, right? We were he was way more talented than I, so he had a lot more opportunities to jam.
You mean Chris?
Out. No, Brad. Sorry.
Okay. Of course not.
But
Chris too.
It was really just the flute. I was really good at the flute. You know what I mean? Like the flute is just always been my thing.
All right. So when and how did Six Fox Whiskey happen? This was after Alaska, obviously. You came back and you got back together with these guys. Is that when it happened?
Kind of. I remember you came back and you had a recording, I think, this maybe was after Colorado, actually, that you had a recording of Way Up North on your phone, and you had a buddy that had mixed a little bit in Colorado. But once you were back from Alaska, we kind of just, I remember he came over once to where Brad and I were living in Austin at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you guys remember it differently, but this is kind of how I remember it. And he had the song Way Up North ready to go, and it's a pretty straightforward song, right? Just kind of GBCA. For the majority of the song, so it's easy for someone to pick up and make it sound
major
really
key
quick.
Easy changes
And we went up to my room at the time, which was had a drum set in it and everything, and I think Tyler was with him as well, and we just kind of played it out, and that song instantly sounded pretty solid. And so then I think we decided to get a gig at the Rock in Plymouth,
We got to listen back to that recently.
I don't ever want to hear that.
I definitely
How long
do.
Ago was that? How many years ago?
That was like...
Four.
I think that was...
Pretty recent.
January of 2016.
Yep.
That sounds about right.
Oh, then it would be three.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's when it was.
So after Plymouth Rock...
Yeah, the Rock. So that's an interesting place. If you ever get a chance to get down to Plymouth...
Oh, I've been down there years ago.
Don't go to the Rock.
No.
Ever.
All right.
It's still there.
It might not be there anymore.
So when did this actually... The Six Fox Whiskey come together and just become real? With all five of you?
On stage at the Rock.
Yes. No, I mean, that was our first like show that we played together, and we started playing. We played together as a four piece for about a year before Dan, the saxophone player, came into the picture. And he was like, apparently, as he tells it, he was home. He was at college at Ithaca studying music, and he heard us play on the radio on a local station, WATD, down in Marshfield. And he liked what he heard, so he was home on break, and we were playing at a local bar, and he just showed up with his horn and jumped up there, and we all kind of looked at each other and were like,
"Yeah, it was right,
that's
Dan's
the moment."
In the band now.
That's the moment.
That was one of the gigs that Tommy couldn't make.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and we had a sub bass player who like got in a car accident or something on the way and couldn't get to the gig.
We didn't have a bass player.
And it was just you, me, and T Dave, and Dan showed up, and I was like trying to play bass on the guitar, and Dan kind of like did the solo thing.
This show must go on.
It was amazing. Yeah. Like totally.
I forgot we didn't even have a bass player for that show.
But yeah, thank God that Dan showed up. You know, he saved the gig.
Yeah,
he's a hero.
All right, so you have some influences in common. You all sort of started with the classic rock stuff, and you, Tommy, with a particular track.
Yeah.
So you mentioned a couple of tracks for influences, Steely Dan, which if anybody hears your work doesn't surprise anybody, and Volfpeck, which I don't know of. So tell us a little bit about how those became your choices for your influences, and then we'll play them.
I mean, I could talk a little bit about Steely Dan, I guess.
All right.
It's like... I think Steely Dan does a really, really good job of, first of all, it's I gotta say that it's like love-hate with Steely Dan. I talk to people who like either love Steely Dan or they
hate
Steely Dan.
I think that's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what
There's
I mean?
There's no gray.
I'm totally on the love Steely Dan side of the fence, obviously. I think they do a really good job of taking like super kind of complicated jazz stuff and like putting it in a way that like anyone can like kind of dance to and like party to and have a good time, and kind of it makes jazz a little bit more accessible, I think, to your average listener.
And they're also technically perfect, which is what a lot of people hate about them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All of the millions of people who have played in that band, seemingly.
Right.
Yeah, it's just like a like almost like a scene at a certain point with the amount of people that they've had.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've always loved them, and I've always found like they like take the things that I don't like about jazz and kind of get rid of them, and they take all the things I do like about jazz and keep it. So I don't know, I just think they're like super smart and talented. So
I'm sure you've must have liked them. I'm sure you must have watched the many documentaries that are on them and the way that their whole philosophy about they had so many people like on a solo on a particular track. They would have like 5, 6, 7 people do it, and they would just
they just pick one,
go over and over and over, and figuring out who's best, and that's what they do. They didn't fool around.
That mentality is like
that's what it is.
It's awesome. You know, it's like super thoughtful mentality.
Yeah. They refine everything. Yeah. You know,
It's like every note needs to have a reason for being there.
Yes, right? And they didn't play live either for a long time because they just couldn't.
They got a lot of criticism for that.
Yeah, they couldn't deal with going out and not being perfect. Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, I think you can look. That's fine with me, right? Like, I always see it as they're almost two separate entities to a degree, right? Like, you know, the actual album itself is a work of art in the sense that it's a work of art in a studio, right? And then the live performance is just a completely
whole different thing,
right?
Yep.
So they were 100%. Such masters of that first thing.
Yeah.
And I think we like to draw a lot from that when possible, right? Because they're they're pretty tremendous.
So Wolfpack, tell us about. I don't know anything about them. I listened to the track; it's very, very cool. But
I almost think that this is the second half of that piece right there, right? Where there's the studio component to the art, and then there's a live component to the art. Like, I like Wolfpack for so many reasons. They're musically super adept, really creative, but they've also created this whole kind of aura about them that really comes out when they perform live, I think. But they're just a super energetic band that I think you can pull a lot from as an artist to like find new ways to engage with your audience that really gets them excited to hear you play.
Yes. Right. So I think they also like represent an influence that came a little bit later in our progression. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just all right, interesting. Good to know.
Yeah, they're more of like our. I don't want to say they're our peers because that is, you know, not super correct. But you know, they're not much older than us, and you know, they're easy to look up to because they're doing it right now. You know, and they're just super great. Everyone should check them out.
All right, very cool, very cool. So let's hear the influences, and it's kind of a cool thing for us to do because we'll now sort of see what these guys sound like, and then we'll get to hear you from your recorded record. Called 6FW after that, and then you'll treat us to a couple of live things after that.
Sounds good. Cool.
There, I've spilled the beans. Everybody knows my plans. All right, this is Steely Dan, everybody, at WMFO.
Smile for the camera.
WMFO in Medford. I know when that ended. I knew it perfectly. No, that was awesome. So we just started listening to the influences from Six Fox Whiskey, who are our in-studio guests today. They're here. All right, so that was Steely Dan and Wolfpack. I'm saying Wolfpack is too much fun. I just want to keep doing it. But yeah, very interesting. And it's like I said, it's very interesting to listen to your two influences and then listen to you guys and sort of hear that in you. Yeah, big time. Yeah. So you've got a new record out that you're going to be supporting by playing out. And you've got a gig coming up on the 11th.
Yeah, the 11th we headlined the Brighton Music Hall in
First time headlining there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We played there once. It's great. It's cool to see because we played there once about 2.5 years ago. We were the first of four bands, and we had a 30-minute set. So it's nice to now come out and say the second time we played there, we're headlining with a couple great acts in June and the Buffers, who will be supporting us. But it's going to be an awesome night, and really, really excited to get there again.
Get your tickets now.
Get your tickets. And where can people buy tickets for usual places, Brighton Music Hall?
Ticketmaster, yeah. Facebook, all your normal places.
Yeah, we got a link on our Instagram and our Facebook.
And I've got links to your website and your Facebook stuff in my write-up on Facebook as well. So yeah, that's very exciting. So you've got a bunch of other shows coming up after that too. Very busy January.
It is. I'll have to get up my calendar to read them off, but I know.
Yeah, the 12th we're at Arch Street Tavern in Hartford with June. And then the 19th we'll be up at Stratton Mountain in Vermont. Playing the Green Door Pub, that'll be fun. The 25th we're at the New World Tavern down in Kingston, Mass. Plymouth, Mass. On the South Shore.
Back at the Rock.
Yeah. No, just a little step up from the Rock. No, it's a really cool venue.
It is a great spot.
It's a cool hometown spot for me, anyways. And then the 26th we're at BRYAC in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Yeah, so busy month for sure.
Yeah,
we're really
definitely.
Excited, though.
That's really great. So how this record, the six, the latest record came out just the tail end of last year, right? Six.
Yep. Yeah, end of September.
Yeah. Yep. How did that happen? I mean, how long did that take you to put that together?
A long time.
Yeah.
I think when did we record Threes? Was like in February.
Yeah, Threes was the beginning of 2018, and that was kind of just a one-off. We were like, hey, we have a great song and we should
a lot
make
of bands
this a single,
do that, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think we were in the studio and we did the single, and then we kind of thought, hey, we have all these other songs that aren't on an EP and aren't on anything, but they're great. Let's just make the plan to make an album. And it was actually a really smart decision because it did drive us to also finish tunes that we've been working on for a while that never quite crossed the finish line.
Right.
And really pushed us to say, hey, we have an end date for when we need this song done. Like, we got to put our heads together, get creative, and finish this song. And that's kind of... So I would say Threes was the impetus for the album in general. Mm.
So this whole thing came out finally in about September, I think I remember?
Yeah, it was a decent, relatively long process, but definitely worth the time. Again, we try to be as meticulous as we possibly can in the studio, and we hope that it was reflected in what we produced in the end.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Sean McLaughlin at 37 Foot Productions. Mm-hmm. That's where we recorded the album, and he did it. Amazing job. Really helped us through the whole process, and he's been a good resource for us since we started.
Yeah, glad you mentioned that. The production quality is excellent. You guys have to be flying high about how great that sounds.
Yeah, we pumped. Sean did a great job.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. All right, so let's give the audience a chance to hear what you guys do from this record, 6FW. You chose a couple of tracks, the first of which is Going Home. Why did you want to share this one, and why are you laughing?
it's a funnier Besides song, that. I think. This is like this is a song that we wrote to kind of reflect a more lighthearted spirit, I think, and to be more of a, I guess you could call it a party song, and more of a, like a funk oriented kind of just straight ahead, pretty simple but fun tune.
Tommy on the lead vocals on this one too.
Yeah, which is also the only time I ever sing lead. So.
All right.
But he crushed it.
I could never do that. I can't talk.
I can't either, but I tried.
Yeah, there you go. And the other one you picked that makes all of us very happy is Seven Stops, which is the one that just got us all to say, whoa, when we heard your stuff. Seven Stops, we told you what we think of it. You picked it as a second song, so what does it mean to you? It's got to be such an accomplishment. What a great track.
Yeah, it's an awesome tune. That one I guess I wrote a lot of the songs that we started out with, and this one came from, I think, from mostly from Tom and Brad collectively.
Really Brad, yeah.
Yeah.
I pitched in, but...
But it's just, I think it's a good reflection of where the band is at now. I think we're a little bit more mature in our playing and our compositions. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, I'm proud of that one for sure.
Should be. All right, let's hear what these guys can do. Turn it up, everybody. It's Six Fox Whiskey from 6FW. This is Going Home at WMFO Medford.
Me, he ripped and said, nothing stops until I'm home again. Bodies warming in, they all want in. And dark nights but street lights, yeah, this is home. You step in, you step out, you're not alone. Seven steps away, your face I see. Seven paces towards strange company. What if we stop and we're all alone? Will we get on? Will we get along? If this is where we all reside, then let's be cool and we'll get by. It's all too short. Seven sevens and another round. Strangeness severed, we're together now. Old friends and new friends are by my side. Well, let's take this train for another ride. If this is where we all reside, then let's be cool and we'll get by. It's all too short, you can't just hide until the end. Enjoy the ride. If this is where we all reside, then let's be cool and we'll get by. It's all too short, you can't just hide until the end.
WMFO Medford. Yeah, 10:41 in the morning. That was Six Fox Whiskey, everybody. The guys that are right here in the studio. I heard a couple of tracks. That was Seven Stops and Going Home from their latest record, 6FW. And for Seven Stops, I've been meaning to ask you guys this. And, you know, anybody that loves music would have heard this. When the sax solo starts, somebody goes, oh, that's Chris. Who is that?
That's me.
Yeah, because right when it started up, everybody that loves it goes like, oh, because exactly. We're all with you.
Yeah, it was like we were recording it live, I think, and as soon as I heard it, I was just like, oh, God.
Exactly. No, damn, I understand.
Man, it came down to like whether or not we want to keep that, and we were all like at the same time. We're pretty much like, we're keeping that.
Yeah. Exactly, because it's exactly what you want to come in.
That's right, the kind of thing I think that makes it, keeps it feeling organic, you know?
It so. Is. All right, so you guys are going to treat us to two songs, maybe three if we have enough time?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd be shocked if we get three in, but that'd be sweet.
Why? Just because you tend to
they're
like...
usually pretty long.
Yeah, I know. I'm just...
We'll try to make them radio-friendly today, though.
Oh, that'd be nice. Thanks. All right, so it's just Six Fox Whiskey in live in Studio A, and you guys want to do a song called Sun I'd Seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about this one, and then you go.
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This song, I can tell you how we wrote it really quick. Brad was playing I was up in Brad's room when we lived in Austin. He was playing some song on the piano. It kind of inspired me somehow to have this line in my head. So the opening line that you'll hear is something that I wrote. I showed Brad, he helped me fix it a little bit. And then he went upstairs after he heard the line and wrote all the other parts to it. And then we as a band collectively wrote the lyrics, and that was really it.
Anything in particular the song is about, or?
Just trying to kind of break the mold of a mundane routine and to live in like of a more real present that isn't just going through motions every day. And, you know, I'm waking this morning to the sun I'd seen before, same face is knocking at my door. You know, face is kind of a metaphor for just general repetition of life and trying to break through that.
Gotcha. All right, live in Studio A, everybody. It is Six Fox Whiskey and Sun I'd Seen.
Sun I'd seen before, same faces knocking at my door. In deja vu they say, but I can't get away, a tale that seems intent to stay. In the map always shows us the same way home, I wish we write a story of our own. A story that acts just like a remedy in a door to our monotony. And where will we go? Step into tomorrow. And what will we say to forget about today? Could start again with how this all began. Would we still fall into a trap? A plot that's clear to see, a flatline destiny. Voice screams how it all should be. If we turn down the volume that's outside our heads and listen to the mind and what it says, could we cut the line that ties us to a bitter end? It's time to rise now, let us all transcend. And where will we go to step into tomorrow? And what will we say to forget about today? Step into tomorrow. And
Yeah.
Whiskey live in Studio A. You guys got it going on. And you know, I really enjoy looking at like people that. When they do what they do, because you guys are just into it. Smiles all around. You were awesome. You were into it. Yeah, it sounded excellent.
Thank
sounded
you.
Excellent. So
it felt good. We never get to play in this configuration, so it was kind of cool.
Nobody
we should
does.
Actually just get rid of the other two guys.
Yeah.
I
mean,
that bass thing was sick. Starting off
it was
the bass
crazy.
Yeah, that bass
look
was cool.
Which one?
Right at the beginning of the bridge.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. If I didn't tell you we're recording, I'll get all this audio to you.
I messed up a few times as well, but that's just jazz, man.
Yeah, it is. All right, so I see what you mean about maybe not getting three tracks in, but maybe. So what's another one you'd like to play live?
Should we play three?
What are we going to do?
And just...
We got 10 minutes.
If you want to, we can do it, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I really love having Dan on that song because we do a lot of like harmonized lines that just like...
Let's do Pray.
We can do Pray if you want.
All right, we'll do, do a slower tune. You want to take Dan's solo in the middle?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Okay. Live in Studio A at Six Fox Whiskey, everybody. WM4.
Yeah,
okay.
Decay, break down to nothing.
be fertile for later days. There's way too much gray, blue skies we summon to carry our blues away. To carry our blues away. We thought I found the answer, but I gave it away. And we live for the questions, so who would I say she is? We thought I found the answer. Pray for the day we know it's coming, when our troubles will go away. Our demons at bay, they're scared, they're running. Emotion in disarray. We pray for decay, break down to nothing. Be fertile for later days. There's way too much gray, blue skies we summon. Blues away, to carry our blues away. And we thought I found the answer, but I gave it away. And we live for the questions, so who would I say she is?
right. It's WMFO. Live in studio 8M6Fox Whiskey, everybody. That was Pray for Decay, and before that, Sun I'd Seen, all from their record 6FW. That was stupendous, guys. Thank you so much. I mean, I could see that you guys had a blast. We did too. Just so you know.
Thanks for
having
us, man. Really appreciate
it. That was really great.
That was awesome.
Thank you guys so
much. The main website is 6foxwhiskey.com. I've got all your other links in the write-up that I did. And also, tell them about Brighton Music Hall on the 11th.
Brighton Music Hall, this coming Friday, January 11th, with June and the Buffers. Come on down and dance.
Absolutely. All right, once again, 6foxwhiskey,
so
everybody.
Best Saturday morning ever.
Yeah. Oh, so you got to come back. We'll do it again.
Yeah.
Don't forget about us little people when you make it to the big
this
time.
This was actually the best start to a Saturday I can remember, man. I woke up, I was like, I get to go play at this sweet radio station.
Us it too, man. So yeah, it's absolutely, awesome. We so appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much.
Awesome.
All right, so I'm Mike. Something About the Women is coming up here at 11. Thank you to Mark. Thank you to Chris from Mark Chin Radio.
Thank you for having us. And thanks for coming in, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
It's always good having you. Mark Hurwitz, thanks for being here.
Hey, how did I get here?
I don't know. I don't know. And Liz is going to be here for Something About the Women. Hey, Liz, long time no see. What's going on?
Good to be back. School is over.
Yeah?
Well, first semester of grad school is over.
Oh, congratulations on that.
Thanks. School's never over. You're right. 4.0, though, so I guess it was worth it.
Oh, really?
Yes. Nice. And I passed my MTELs yesterday, so good stuff.
Very good. So what are you doing on Something About the Women today? What's going on?
Just a good mixture of music. I haven't been on since the summer.
No,
so
you have not.
Yeah, I know. I haven't. And so I haven't been on since the summer, so I'm just going to play just some good stuff, just some stuff that I'm like feeling in my soul right now.
All right, cool. Stay tuned for Something About the Women with Liz. I'm going to leave you with GA20 and Nagging on My Mind. Thanks for listening, everybody. Really appreciate it. I'm Mike. I'll be here again next week at 9. It's WMFO, Medford.